This is The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell on this. We feel for you, Louisiana. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Hit Cameron, Louisiana, Lake Charles. The Nugget is, man, did anybody have interruption of business like Tillman yesterday? No basketball. His basketball team didn't play, and his casino was waylaid by the hurricane. And the hits just keep on coming. I mean, yeah, Tillman's going to be able to withstand them. You're not going to feel sorry for Tillman. I get it. Okay, you could, Art, before you even send it, I'm not, you know, we thoughts and prayers to Tillman. I get it. But, you know, dude has been, I don't know that anybody's taken a beating, what with all restaurants, casinos, and a basketball team that wasn't able to play for months and months. So, yeah, he's taken a pretty good hit, and he took another one yesterday. So, man, it looked bad. It was bad. Were you up watching the Weather Channel last night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was. I was. There's a channel called Severe Weather Channel. Like, they take local feeds, local broadcasts. Every once in a while, they cut to Channel 13. They take local broadcasts, and then from there, once one is going to a commercial, they'll go to the next one, who are going to be in the pathway of the storm. And so I was watching that. I watched some this morning. So I haven't heard. How has the storm surge, like, it doesn't, I know this is not supposed to be a heavy rainfall storm, which Houston, we've been hit more by the rainfall than the wind in the past. The wind did get up there. I haven't seen a ton. I mean, I've seen, is there widespread destruction? I have not seen that, but I don't know.
This was more wind. This was more wind damage than anything. And
that's what I mean. Is there widespread destruction from the wind?
No, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is there? Okay. I just haven't seen it this morning, because they keep cutting away to make sure they show how their weather people are out in the rain and the wind.
Well, we got a lot of people in Lafayette, too, so hopefully, because they're getting the whip. They're getting a lot of the whip. And that, in a lot of cases, is really bad. That's where a lot of the water will come from. I got to check on them this morning to see how everything is going, because it's got to be devastating for that. Man, Louisiana catches it again. They just catch it again and again
crazy?
And again.
I'm going to tell you something that's crazy. I saw this yesterday on Weather Channel. This seems incredible to me. This was only the fourth Category 4 hurricane to hit them in recorded history. Seem like it'd be more.
Yeah, but threes are pretty devastating.
Yeah, though. No yeah. Question. Two were in the 1800s.
Really?
Yeah, this is only the second one in the since 1900 to hit Louisiana. That doesn't even seem possible. They say Louisiana doesn't usually get this level of hurricane.
Well, I think they probably a few of them that like Rita that hit him. I think they credit it to Texas, but Lake Charles took. They took the brunt of it with the whip, and you know, so maybe they're not giving them nearly the credit that they deserve.
Rita might have been one that they credited. Actually, I don't know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but
certainly Katrina. That was
Rita may have been a Category 3.
Yeah, but I think Katrina was a 3 too, though.
I thought Katrina was a 5.
Okay, well, whatever the case may be. They've been taking their beatings.
They have. That was just surprising to me. About it also goes to show you. I mean, it depends on how fast. But we have too. You know, we've taken ours. Just ours have been more with. Ours have been tropical storm. We've taken more from a flooding standpoint. No one has flooded Houston.
No,
there's
no.
Nobody.
Nobody.
New Orleans. Nobody. New Orleans is in a bowl, and they haven't. We've gotten it from rainstorms. The flood that wasn't a hurricane. The tax day flood, Memorial Day flood.
Alicia,
those aren't
Allison. Got our ass handled. Tax day, Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get
flooded.
We get flood.
No. And of course, Harvey was the king of them all. Mm-hmm. But I haven't seen anything about storm surges yet. I saw a little bit, and I know that was my big concern yesterday, is at one point, they were talking about storm surges, and you always have to balance out. You know, you don't. They do go worst case scenario is what they broadcast. And they were talking storm surge of 15 to 20 feet at one time. And I'm like, oh, my God, 20 feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's covering houses. That's covering houses. You're yep. over houses. But I think they had downgraded a little on the surge to 10 to 15. That's still, you know, that's still just devastating. But we'll see. I learned yesterday that Galveston has their the seawall there has a 15-foot barrier. So it's up 15 feet. So a lot of people stayed in Galveston. They didn't evacuate. And they said, we've been through, our house withstands wind. And I think that turn that it had yesterday, a lot of people in Galveston felt a lot safer, well, even with the storm surge.
Wendy's dad yesterday morning goes, hey, I know you all are going to get hit. You want to come to Lafayette? And she was like, you might want to come here because you're about to get pummeled. And sure enough, we'll see. I want to get an update. I've texted some peeps in Louisiana to see in Lafayette how they're doing. So maybe we can get an update. But yeah, we were watching the Weather Channel and then Channel 13 all night, and watched the little Republican National. Did you watch? I don't know why, but Mike Pence reminds me of your dad.
My dad?
Yeah.
Oh, he didn't remind me of my dad. Doesn't remind me of Mike Pence.
He doesn't.
Mike Pence is. Hi, Mike Pence.
No, he was pretty good last night. You didn't see him?
Larry's a little saltier.
No, well, yeah, no. He's saltier, but he just looks like a big Marine.
As somebody who's lived with my dad, dude. He doesn't. I've never thought about that. Other than gray hair.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they a big Marine kind of dude. I say that. Big Marine.
Mike Pence wasn't a Marine, though.
No, but he just looks like one of those old, you know.
Does he?
Yeah.
I don't get that with Mike.
Yeah. Anyway, it was pretty good last night. He's firmly behind. He's going to vote for President Trump, I think. So just so everybody knows, so Chris Paul got everybody registered to vote yesterday, Del?
Well, I mean, that wasn't the lead story as far as what happened in the NBA yesterday, but that was one of the reports.
He said that after the game though the other day,
which
that he was going to after the Rockets game. He's like, yeah, we won, that's fine, but
voting is real.
He just said, you know, there was about even why. He questioned why they were even playing in the post-game interview.
He did?
Yeah. He questioned why they were even playing and then mentioned that he wanted to get a league-wide drive going to vote. He goes, I'm going to get all these young guys registered to vote.
Yeah. The report was that he got his entire team to vote, which obviously when people start to dig into it, like, could he have actually gotten his entire team to vote when not all of them are Americans? Can they all register to vote? Like Danilo, do we know his status, whether he's eligible to vote in this country?
Yeah, I doubt that he has dual. It's dual citizenship. You wouldn't have to, I don't think.
Chris Paul, what he's doing, commendable certainly. But when you throw out that line that he got everyone registered to vote, it opens up to people to start digging in. Okay, more fake news. Could he have actually gotten the entire squad to vote when they're not all Americans? But apparently one of his things was getting people to vote. But that was maybe the third or fourth most important NBA story that happened yesterday.
Yeah. But yeah. Well, postponing all the games, that was probably number one.
And then we heard the vote that the Lakers and Clippers in an informal poll didn't want to play. The two franchises that people are talking about the most as far as
potential titles.
They don't want to finish the season.
Yeah.
Big concern is that if your top two teams in the West vote and say, we're out, then the season's over. Because they're not going to keep a season going. Because what's going to happen is, we're not going to be. If they're out, we need to be out too. We need to show that we're with the cause, and it will be a domino. If this is an informal poll and they change their mind or whatever, because the NBA really can't do anything. I think the players' frustrations, and I read this, Mike Malone talked about this, we can't do anything inside a bubble. We feel like we have more power outside of the bubble actually doing stuff. Well, if that's going to be the case, if they decide it's not worth playing, and LeBron is the guy that this could be one of his last chances to win a championship, and if he's on board with not finishing, you're going to see a lot of other people get on board, and supposedly it's younger players, I guess, that may be pushing this a little bit too. If the two best teams in the West say we're not playing, the season's over, because they won't continue a season without one. Like, that's just not going to happen. And other teams will do the same thing. We're done too. And then you have to worry about if NFL does that. Then you have to worry about domino effect, because you saw canceling one game, the Bucks. MLS baseball, soccer, MLS baseball, all the NBA games, all took shape.
Yeah, I think by then we shall see. We'll see what it accomplishes. If now postponing one game, and I agreed with this. What does that do? Honestly, maybe it brings awareness, and now there's more talk.
They got on the phone with the Wisconsin Attorney General
and the governor, the lieutenant governor,
or something like that. Yeah,
yeah. But yeah, they got them on the phone, and that was nice. And maybe they got. Who knows what the attorney general decided as far as arresting that cop or whatever the case may be. There's got to be some repercussions, and maybe that's what they're looking for. And maybe they did get something done yesterday with talking to the attorney general. But just not playing a game once and postponing it to move it to another day. And making a statement is canceling the season. Canceling the playoffs is making a statement that, you know what, we really are behind this. We're gonna shut this down, and we are gonna focus. And let's hope that they do focus after that, and they do do some stuff in their communities and whatnot. I was listening to Sam Acho. It was not today, but yesterday. I believe it was yesterday, or maybe even the day before.
Emmanuel Acho, probably.
No, Sam.
Sam.
He works in the NFL front office.
Wait, one of the Achos.
Emmanuel's
on
television.
ESPN, yeah. One of them. Oh, Sam's not on in a.
No, Sam's in the NFL front office. He's working. He's working on.
I thought he was still on a team. I thought I read he was still
listed
on a team.
As a free agent, so possibly very well could be in the front office.
Yeah, he's working in the NFL office right now, and it was kind of interesting. He said when asked, "Hey, should because the question was." Is this a distraction from the Jacob Blake story? Because guys are still playing. And so it must have been yesterday morning. Is it a distraction? He said, and should they be playing? And he said, well, I don't know if they should be. I don't want to tell the guys whether or not they should be playing or not, but I think the guys should do what Maya Moore is doing. Mm-hmm. She's taken off the entire year, and she is trying to get someone.
She did it.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah. Yeah,
it worked. Maya Moore did it. She put the time in. The guy got off, and it was successful.
And so she took off her job, and she took off the season to go and get him out of prison, which was certainly admirable. And she said, I think the guy should. And I was like, well, Sam, if you're going to say something like that, maybe, you know, you've got a job too. If you feel that way. That, you know, people should quit their jobs and go and have a lifelong mission, or a year-long mission. Well, then that's something that you should – you can't tell guys to stop playing.
I think what that could be in reference to, because I know there's been a little bit of kickback from some people who say, you know, I'm getting tired of these hashtag activists and Twitter activists and grandstanders. And if you want to be about it, go be about it. And I'm hearing it from – you know, black athletes who have said this primarily, some of the same guys that they're talking about, some of the same guys who are in their shoes saying, go out and instead of making sure that you get the picture, you do it for the gram, go do stuff like Maya Moore. Did you see, I don't know. I don't follow her. Did you see her? Did she make a documentary about this where she's showing herself and she just went out there and did it.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know.
Go out there and do it. When I go do stuff like that, I don't put it all over social media. And I think that's maybe what the guy's saying is, hey, go, if you got a chance to really make an impact, go make an impact. Maybe that's what Sam Acho is saying.
He was saying, you know, hey, you know what? Be like Maya Moore and give up everything. And
that's what I'm saying. Go make an impact.
Well, when Sam Acho does it, then you know what? And you, like, if he says like we did, then it means more to me. Anybody could tell a guy, go take your season off and go do something.
No one wants to make that heavy a sacrifice. So.
Not this particular
not
discussion.
Not very many. Well, but Maya Moore did it. How many do it?
Pat Tillman did it.
Yeah,
yeah.
This whole
not many.
This, not many.
This whole thing, I find not this particular conversation, but the whole, hey, athletes, go do something, and embarrassing. Because first of all, the only reason we know, and I'm not taking shots at the athletes, but the fact that the discussion has to be about why. Well, the athletes should go do something. Why?
Mm-hmm.
They play basketball. Right. They play football. They've gained an amount of fame from doing that. This shouldn't fall on them. And the fact that they feel like they have to do it speaks to where we are. Yeah. Why does LeBron James as have to be the guy to in black communities make sure there are enough pollsters so they can have an easier time voting? Does that fall?
I want to get further. Yeah. That's a good topic. I want to get further into it coming up. For those who don't know, I mean, everything was canceled for the most part yesterday because of Jacob Blake. It was Milwaukee Bucks, and the playoffs kind of got things kicked off, and then it went from there. We will talk about that. We got a lot of different stuff to get to, but I do want to expand on what you're talking about, Dale, because I think it's an interesting topic.
Yep.
And there was something said yesterday that's a counter to that, and I want to get your thought on that.
All right, we'll do that. But first, let's talk about my peeps over at Chastang Ford. What I need you to do if you're looking for that car, and, oh, by the way, this is the best time to buy a car or truck from Chastang Ford because of the 0% financing. It's ridiculous. I mean, when you can go 7 years and not pay any interest, you're using their money for 7 years, how much money you save and how much lower, not a five-year deal. Most of the deals that when we were growing up is here, you buy a car, it takes 5 years, you pay it off, and there you go. Now you got 7 years. So that much less on payments every month. And that might be where you're at in your economic stage right now because of COVID-19, or I don't know where you're at economically, but right now, if you could lower those payments, you could trade in that car and lower those payments. Do you want to do that? And, oh, by the way, you're upgrading it to a new car. How awesome. They also have used cars there as well. But here's the deal. If you're looking to shop at home and not even go in, you can do that. They got shop at home. They've got you can go and browse the dealership as well and see all the wonderful cars and trucks. Nothing down, no payments for 6 months, and 0% financing. You can't get any better, and you can't get any better than the service and the people at Chastang Ford. It's Chastang at home, ChastangFord.com, or you can get to the dealership. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. It's Chastang Ford.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
It's 719 on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-37. So if you've got any thoughts on this, you're more than welcome to get in. You are more than welcome. At first, I was a little hesitant because it was like, oh, they postponed the game. They're just going to reschedule it and all that. It means something, what they did yesterday. It does.
Yeah, my kids asked me about Alec, my 16-year-old. He's like, what difference does this even make? Like, what does this change? And I said, well, it doesn't change. I said, this is not – because I want them to think analytically, because I heard, you know, it's pretty interesting. I was watching some people who I consider to be pretty down the middle of the road in terms of their – honesty, they don't politicize stuff, and they were not happy about yesterday, which caught me a little off guard, but they were not happy about all this, and their whole point was, this is not affecting any kind of a change, and yada, yada, yada. So I saw comments like that, and what I thought is, this is just how I saw it, and this is how I explained it to my son. I said, well, you know, I said, these players, they agreed to go into the bubble, this bubble format, live away from everybody, play the game, make the money that they had, the rest of the season's money they had coming, $1.1 billion television deal they had also in the postseason, you know, finish the season. I said, they made some sacrifices to do that. It's not easy, but one of the things they really didn't like is that they weren't going to be able to continue what they had started with some of the social justice movement that happened with George Floyd. And I said, you know, I said, listening to Doc, I said, Alec, did you see what Doc Rivers said? Did you get to see him? And I said, I think what this is really is, this is the only way to speak. They have shirts on, but they don't feel like they have the ability to really speak their minds. And I said, this is their way of speaking their minds, of being able to say, hey, this really, really upsets us. This is one of the only ways that they feel like they can do it other than going to Twitter and they can do it as a group. And I think he understood. He still doesn't see. And, you know, is this going to, but he said, but this is, that's not going to change anything. I said, well, I don't know that it changes things, but it's still their way of speaking out inside of a bubble.
Right. Well, and I was, again, I was listening. I forget who it was that was on the show before us. And he was, and he was saying, you know, this, it is a distraction. Them playing is a distraction because we're, this morning, we're talking about how many points who he had and what, how many rebounds and all of that instead of affecting change in this country. And so this is, basketball is a distraction. And it was what Kyrie Irving, you know, as much as I think he's a nut job, Kyrie Irving did hit on this before it started. He said, hey guys, when we go and play basketball, when you guys go and play basketball, because I'm not going, when you guys go play basketball, it is going to be a distraction and it's going to hurt the cause because we do have some momentum and people are talking about this and maybe we can affect some kind of change, but you're putting it all on hold by playing. And there is some, there's a level of truth to that. And yesterday, because they didn't play, now Jacob Blake is front and center in the minds of everyone and maybe talking to the Attorney General, maybe talking to the Lieutenant Governor, whatever the case may be, whatever they did in Wisconsin, maybe it will affect some change. And maybe and it does bring Jacob Blake to light for a lot of people, as opposed to just dismissing what happened in Wisconsin, in Kenosha, Wisconsin. You know, now we've got it. It's front and center again today, and more people are talking about it, as opposed to just talking about the Bucks and the Magic playing basketball. So it does mean something. It does have an effect on it. And I don't know, you know, the other side of that is, what can an NBA player not playing, how is that going to affect some cop in some remote city like Kenosha, Wisconsin, from shooting a young black man? And, you know, that the thing is, it's so unbelievable that that happened in the way that it happened since the George Floyd thing. I mean, it is just so unbelievable that that guy is, and I'm sure in Kenosha, they had some kind of, or they had to watch, or they had some kind of protest, or they had something going on, or you would have to be in a cave to not know,
you know,
about the George Floyd thing.
Oh, yeah.
You'd have to be.
You know what's going on in Kenosha now, right?
Well, yeah, I'm not talking about that. Okay. I'm that before he shot the guy, I'm saying. Right. He had to be aware of what's going on in this country, and for him to do that is simply unbelievable. It's simply, he's, again, it just hurts the cops. He's put every cop in danger again in this country because now they have to fight all of these protests and all this rioting and all of this unrest that's going on in this country because of one stupid move. And it's just unbelievable to me that something like that could happen again. And maybe all of this talk and maybe all of this discourse and all of these and seeing this and the riots and everything else that is happening will make a cop think twice before he shoots a black guy again.
Well,
maybe.
How about just think twice before discharging a weapon, period?
Well, right.
You know, I mean, because that's...
And especially in their back seven times while they're getting in the car.
Grab them and tackle them. You saw if he wasn't complying, hand your gun to the next guy, grab him and tackle him. There's four others right there. Just didn't
need
it. You let it get too far. If he's not complying before he opens, I get when he opens the door and he reaches down, you're concerned about a weapon. He shouldn't even got that far.
No, he shouldn't.
I mean, this is just common sense.
Well, that's the point. I get that we have to bring attention to it. And we have to. I think that guy's just too stupid to be a cop. I do. You can't tell me that
there's no way that's logical, good police
there's
work.
Any reason whatsoever that he would open fire on a guy getting into the car seven times. There's no logical explanation to that, especially after all this country has been through over the last 2 months. It's just baffling to me. So that guy, I think it's – I don't know that there can be any change. I love that this is brought to attention, and hopefully, you know, a young black man doesn't have to worry about getting shot by cops again because maybe they'll think about it as opposed to that cop. But I think that's that is another isolated instance of a cop that's just too stupid to be a cop,
or too afraid of young black males? I mean,
what running being running away from him?
Why do you have your gun? No, why do you have your gun and you unload it?
I know.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's fear. If you're unloading seven shots into his back, and you let him get all the way into the car with three kids in the car, it's just dumb. It's just stupid. Before he even opens the door, you take him down. Yep. That's what you do. You grab him. You wrestle him to the ground, whatever you have to do. It didn't need to come to discharging weapons.
Nope.
I mean, I understand you have...
That's what I'm saying.
I'm for police work to happen the way it's supposed to. So people do, so you don't have those situations.
But
you can't, you know...
Well, and again, we are talking about it, and I'm sure they're... And I know ESPN is all day, and they will continue to talk all day. So as opposed to playing basketball games and talking and have those highlights of Giannis and Middleton and all the guys, everything else on today, there is discourse. So there actually was something accomplished yesterday by them doing that.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't have a problem with it. I heard people who had a problem with it. I didn't have a problem with it. I understand where people say, what is this? I think it's a fair question. What does this accomplish? Because it starts, see, here's the thing. If your first explanation, when I tell you, what did this accomplish that someone says this, if your first thought is that it makes you mad and you want to start yelling, then you got a problem. Because this is an example of how you say, well, let me tell you what it accomplishes. This is how you open dialogue. People always say that this opens a conversation, but they don't really mean it.
Mm-hmm.
People like to say that, but no one really likes to have a conversation of back and forth. I think it's a great opportunity where two people could have a disagreement about it, but you could have a legitimate conversation about it. And the three of us can do that, but the real world, people don't really do that. And I think that was a good opportunity for me to have that discussion with my son yesterday. I want to ask Dell something real quick, though.
On the other side. On the other side, we'll do that. 729 ESPN, 97.5. In the meantime, I got to talk about hoops. Well, we didn't play any, so you could play some. If you would like to play some hoops, you got to get a goal that the kids can actually enjoy, okay? And if you've got little ones, it doesn't even matter if they're big ones. If you got big kids, they still want to dunk. Your kids probably, I don't know about how athletic you are. All I know is that a lot of kids can't dunk, and they would love to dunk. So you know what you do? You lower the goal so that they can go up, they can dunk, and they can have some fun. When you go to the website, produnkhoops.com, and you look at there's pictures, you'll see almost every single one is of the kids dunking because that's what they want to do, Dad. They can't enjoy it if it's a 10-foot goal stapled to the garage because it just – and by the way, that's just that the curb appeal on that is less than zero. You want the best goal, the most beautiful goal, and the installation second to none. All of it. You've got it all at produnkhoops.com. Produnkhoops.com. Tell Keith Tate. You heard it right here.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Before we get to that, should we get Sal in? Yeah, because we told people to call in, so when they do, let's get them in.
Yep.
Sal, what's going on?
Hello?
Yeah. Sayo?
Sayo? How would you say your name?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Good morning. No, I just wanted to throw my two cents in. Main thing is that I work with a lot of different types of people, let's just put it that way. And it's not because the main people you hear that say that this isn't going to make a difference or anything like that are the same ones that the majority of them go out and vote. And the reason I say that is because at the end of the day, like most LeBron and all the Bucks teams, like they have to go talk to the people that end up for public office type of thing. And what sucks the most is that the ones that this affects the most is the least amount, the group that votes the least. I just wanted to throw that in there.
So I don't know if, okay. I get the whole vote thing, and if you want to affect change in the country and you want different leadership, that's fine and good. I don't know if you know this, but this happened under President Obama too. Cops were shooting young black guys. I don't know if you know this. This has been happening in this country for years. This is a political thing to me. Is the dumbest. Is stupid. It's not a political thing. There are cops that are afraid.
They should not.
There
be
are cops
officers.
That are yeah. racist. There are cops that overreact. There are cops that are too willing to open fire, especially on young black men. That's just because if Joe Biden wins the presidency, don't think that that's going to stop happening. I mean, that's not going to stop. I played poker yesterday at Prime, and a guy across from me said that Jacob Blake, it's just another incident where their cops are being ordered to shoot people. And I said, "No, what now?"
Yeah.
And he said, "Yeah, no. You're naive if you think that this isn't coming from up from somewhere that they're telling these guys that they should." I said, "You have to shut up because you're too stupid to talk." I literally was going to fight this guy. And the dealer had to go. Okay. I said no. I said, "Shut up. Shut up. You're too stupid." Yeah.
The dealer had to.
The dealer was like, hey,
take it easy, Henry.
Hey, stop.
Take it easy.
I said, stop talking, because you're too stupid.
I can't do it with those people.
No, that was. There's a conspiracy, and someone is ordering these. Are you kidding me? You're kidding, right?
They had to step in. They had to step in with you.
The dealer.
Take it easy, Tommy.
Hey, guys. I said, shut. I don't want to hear it. Stop.
Brent came over.
Don't talk anymore.
What's going on, John? Do you causing a ruckus here?
No, I wasn't causing a ruckus. I was trying to tell this guy to shut the fuck up.
Sounds like it was a ruckus that you were kind of starting.
No, I wasn't starting a ruckus. But, yeah, that.
Well, the voting thing, I've talked to Bun at length about this. I had him on my podcast, and we talked about some of this. And one of the things is, yeah, you're right. You're right. It doesn't come from a president. I mean, his whole thing is, there's been so few, police charged with things. And so the idea is that you have to have people, you vote for change so people will push for more change to where people are held accountable for wrongful killings and things like that. Because you are taking a life. But that's where a lot of that, just to kind of clear up why a lot of people talk about voting and what difference that makes. Well, voting, especially on local voting, which is a lot less people do that even. That's where a lot more change will come inside of a very specific community as it pertains to these issues. Bun and I had a good talk about that. It was very enlightening, some of the stuff, because he's done a ton, and he's not for abolishing police or anything like that. But when you talk to somebody who actually understands all of the issues and has gone through and studied it, and this is a guy who was a professor at Rice. Bun B is very, very extraordinarily sharp. One of the most interesting conversations I've ever had has been with him. But yeah, it's here we are. Here we are again. We're in August now. The last time we did this was in late May, early June. When we had this conversation on the air.
George Floyd?
Yeah. And everything that. Yeah, George Floyd and everything that happened after George Floyd. And here we are in August, late August, and the same
stuff.
Similar situation has happened again. And I wanted to ask Dell this question, because to get back to it, we talked about LeBron. Okay, so you brought up the fact that LeBron is the one who feels like he has to go and stand. Now, he does have the biggest platform when you talk about followers. And one of the things that Michael Jordan was always hammered on is he never made a difference. With that huge platform, he never made a difference on things that he could have made a difference with. LeBron does have a massive platform. If he says something, it's going to get to more people, and some people will follow up. You know, I mean, do you think LeBron makes a difference? We're using LeBron specifically, but he's the biggest name of all the athletes, LeBron James. Do you think LeBron makes a difference when he does things or says things? His platform.
Yes. It's my initial comment wasn't
a shot at LeBron himself.
No, I know it wasn't.
Yes, what he's doing to the, his most recent objective is to make sure polling places where there are predominantly African Americans or just minorities in general, they'll have these polling places. They won't be standing in line for 6 and 7 hours at a time just to vote. He wants to make sure those places are staffed and they're actually places where they can vote and vote in a reasonable manner. I'm all for it. And his previous initiative that was publicized was the one where he's going to try to restore voting rights by helping to pay the fees that it takes once you've been convicted of a crime and your rights are removed for voting. You have to pay in some states to get those back, and he wants to fund that as well. All good. I'm all for it. My thought was, we're at a place where people don't even care that certain segments of the population have to stand in line for 7 hours because there's an agenda to make their voting process as difficult as possible. And you can get into why that's going on, and I think it's pretty clear just because of how we're divided as far as racial lines and voting lines that, hey, if a lot of black people vote in a certain area, it's going to hurt our reelection chances. Not let's put out ideas to convince these people that we're the quote-unquote better party. Let's make sure their voting is so difficult that it helps us.
Yeah.
That's my biggest problem. Let's disenfranchise an entire segment of our city, not Houston specifically, just cities around the country, because it's a better way of going about it than trying to convince them to vote for us.
You know, that's a good question about LeBron, and maybe LeBron will run something. And you said earlier that shouldn't be on LeBron to do that, but he using his fame. This is not nothing. It's not something that's new. I mean, we had an actor that was a president in Ronald Reagan. We had Arnold Schwarzenegger who used his platform to become governor. You know that actually. I mean, Michael versus LeBron. If you want to know the truth, LeBron is killing it.
Trump had no governance experience.
Yeah, right. No, he's just famous.
Yeah.
That's right. You can use your fame to affect change.
No, but it should fall on LeBron.
It shouldn't fall on him.
That's your whole point. Is it shouldn't have to.
It shouldn't have to.
Right.
It shouldn't have to. But you know what? Using his fame to affect change, it's not. It's not something new.
I'm not saying it's new. I'm not saying it's not even valid. I'm saying that we have a system that's set up where an athlete who's been in all our lives for at least the last 18 years has developed in something more, and he's always said he's more than an athlete, and credit to him for that. But he is looked at as a person who you know what, LeBron, we're going to need, not that it feels this way for him, but it'd be great if LeBron did this or LeBron did that. You know what, it'd be great if this country didn't need LeBron. This country, in some areas, needs LeBron to do things because it won't get done another way.
But you know what? The Republican Party has been cashing in on fame for years and years and years. It's, you know, it's about time the Democratic Party. But we hear this. Oh, you're an actor. Shut up. I don't want to hear you. I don't want to hear what you have to think about. You know, the other side always says that, like James Woods. I mean, boy, you want to talk about right. James Woods is far right. And, you know, it's like, James, I know what, but you know what? He's using his fame because he's got followers. He's got people that want to hear what he has to say. And again, Ronald Reagan, Donald Trump, Arnold Schwarzenegger, they took advantage of their fame. Maybe LeBron, you know what? And if you really, really do believe in affecting change and you really want to see things change, then LeBron should use his fame.
All the guys you're mentioning didn't have to, enrich certain areas for people to vote. They use their fame to gain
Well, that's but Del. So he's
but
doing
what?
That. No, he's doing that, but that's the platform that he needs right now.
That's what he needs, that platform, because this country is. You got to talk. Can't even talk like a human being. This country is so screwed up that he has to do it. Why are we accepting the fact that a star athlete has to go into places to make sure people can vote? Why is that acceptable?
But that's the mission right now.
That's his
okay.
And
then when that's achieved, then there'll be a different mission.
And
you know what? And he's behind the Democratic Party in making sure that his people. That's his job for the people that he wants to see.
We've had a fundamental change, and I think social media has certainly enlarged by 10 the megaphone that individual brands have. And so he's an individual brand, has been since he was 16, 17 years old. And I think that's the thought, is he's kind of unique in that instance. He's kind of unique. I get what you, I totally get what you're saying, but I think things have fundamentally changed where we have Donald Trump is in office. Like Ronald Reagan was an actor, but he also got into governance before that. Donald Trump went from reality show and businessman into presidency.
Well, right, but Ronald Reagan, okay, and Ronald Reagan or Arnold Schwarzenegger or whoever, their mission was, okay, so we want to no abortions, we want gun rights, we want lower taxes.
There's a platform issue.
That's right, and LeBron's platform now is vote. And you know what? That's a mission.
That's not
and
a, that's platform.
A platform is not a vote.
A platform to say, hey, make sure there are pollsters in place so this community can vote. It's not a platform. That should be an American right.
You're saying that's not something anyone should
have
to fight for.
Changing the way that America votes is a mission. And that's the mission right now that has to be changed in this country.
He's not saying the way America votes. He's saying the opportunity to vote.
Right. They say, right. The way. Listen, there's wait times everywhere. But not stupid like that. So what he is doing is great. That is the singular mission that has to be done right now. And if it takes LeBron James to do it, then LeBron James is doing it.
Well, I know we're talking about the fame on each side, but I think it is a problem structurally with this country that no one particularly cares that you can look out in Houston. It happened here where people – was it at TSU where everyone had to wait how long? People were applauding on the news. What a great show of Americanism that all these people stood in line for that long to vote. You know what? It's an embarrassment that they had to stand in line to vote that
sucks.
Long.
No, it sucks. And you know what? And maybe LeBron will get that changed. And that's great. And if that's what he accomplishes,
it is
then
great
that's
for
great.
LeBron, but it's an embarrassment to us that it takes LeBron to do it.
Yeah. All right, 7:45 ESPN 97.5. Time to talk about GiveMeTheVIN.com. That is GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's John Clay Wolf. I sold my car, but it's not on John Clay Wolf because that couldn't have been easier. Just getting this title is just unbelievable. But you might not or don't have the same issues that I have with the credit company that I borrowed from. But here's the deal. If you want to sell that car, and I did, and I'm going to tell you, it cannot be an easier process. Now, I know John Clay Wolf, and John Clay Wolf did it on the air, and it was funny and all that stuff. But that's the case. That's the case with this. Zane is here and they've got a couple of guys that are working right here in our offices that are going to give a call, and Zane says in all the years that he's worked for John Clay Wolf, only one time did he get beat out of by a car by CarMax. They paid like $4,000 more than the car was worth. He was like, you got to take that and I'll give the $100 to that guy. But that's the only time that he had to actually pay someone because he couldn't match the offer. So here's the deal, is you know you're 99.99% guaranteed that John Clay Wolf is going to give you the best offer for your car. So why would you sell it anywhere else? GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
Well, hello!
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
748 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, let's get Jim in here. He wants to talk about racial injustice. What do you say, Jim?
Good morning, gentlemen.
What's going on?
I want to say thanks for Dale. I wanted to tell Dale that, man, I love your style, your attitude. I'm right there with you.
Me too.
Of course, John, we're kind of the same age range, so I kind of see his side. Lance just is awesome. So you're a good group. I love to listen to y'all. Here's what gets me. And this is what I want to say for, I hope, and I'm not assuming anything, but I hope that I speak for a lot of us old white dudes. I'm in my mid-60s, okay? I've been blessed to live in the Houston area most of my adult life, which means that we have learned we're a diverse, very diverse city, and you become friends. You work with people of all different races, creeds, and colors.
Just like
and
me
here's
and
my point. What kind of a Peckerwood white dude thinks it's okay to just waste brothers? I don't care if it's from Minnesota, Minneapolis, or this little town in Kenosha, Wisconsin, whatever it is. You can crisscross the nation. Most of the people I grew up with, folks, we hunted and fished, and yeah, a lot of us white folk, and I hunted and fished with different creeds and colors. I never knew a single individual that ever thought they wanted to be a cop, number one. Now let's hold that to the side. And number two, ever would feel comfortable with killing another human. No, we don't even want to kill our own dogs. Why would we want to kill a human? And so what I'm getting at is, why are these police forces hiring these freaks that think it's okay? Oh, we'll just shoot this some gun. We'll either put our knee on his neck with our hand in our pocket like we're fondling ourselves, like that goofball in Minnesota, and if he don't get the death penalty, that's just something wrong, okay? And this guy, you gonna shoot a brother 7 times in the back? Oh, what? He's going in the car. Let him go. By APB, you get him down the road, then you're clear. You're probably going to spend prison time too, idiot. So that's all I got to say. Why do we got to do this? Just respect your fellow citizens. Who does this? I'm out.
Jim's out.
Yeah. Del, could you put the camera on yourself? Can we get the Twitch stream going?
There's no camera in here.
So there used to be.
Yeah, but
yeah. What happened to the camera in there?
Talk to Brandon. I don't know why it's not here anymore. I didn't.
I wanted to see your face the whole time while Jim was talking.
Why?
You're his kind of guy. He likes your style. I do too.
He does like your style.
Yeah, I don't appreciate you lying. We're not.
I like your style.
We're not like Jim and his friends because we're not friends.
Mm-hmm. You and Jim, buddies.
Del, are you going to answer his question?
What's his question?
What kind of peckerwood would do that?
I don't.
That was his
I don't
question.
Even know.
He asked a question.
I don't know what I'm not sure what a peckerwood.
It's called a pea wood. It's called a pea wood.
I'm not sure what a pea
wood
is.
Not a pea word. I don't have a. There's not a. I don't have a speaking impediment. It's when I say pea wood. It's not pea word.
Wood.
Like
wood.
Snacks used to say pea wood. Like what kind of wood is that?
Yeah.
Well, it's bird. Pea wood.
Pea
wood. Not pea word.
No, it's pea wood.
Yeah.
Peckerwood.
I'm not sure what
we can say that, Del.
Okay, go ahead. I'm not sure what type or why he would do that.
You have to say the pea word. We can say peckerwood.
I would ask that you don't say it.
Jim said it. I can say it if Jim said it.
Yeah. Jim said it on the air.
Well,
peckerwood.
Thanks, Jim.
Peckerwood, peckerwood, peckerwood.
Jim, you're I don't know why you had to double or triple it up like that, but Jim, much like you, I don't understand it at all. I mean, I have theories, but that doesn't mean I understand it.
No, he wasn't really asking you to comment on this.
No, but you were. So I'm gonna.
Oh, I was only fake asking you.
I'm gonna talk in the. I'm gonna talk. You
How
asked
much
me,
sleep
so
did
I am.
Jim
you know
left?
I didn't mean I wasn't really asking for you to answer that, Del.
Under over.
You know that.
Under over on sleep Jim got last night.
Ooh, not much. Is that the same Jim that used to call us at 6:10 and would sing, "We're all in this together"? Like birds of a feather.
He sounded like
I think it might be the same Jim.
Jim, is that you that used to sing? Maybe you could sing us a song here today.
He did. He said, "We got Kenny Smith. We got Clyde the Glide." He would sing. I think he used to sing at bars, and then he would, when it was over for the night, deep into the night, and it became the morning, he would call us on just every once in a while and would sing a It was him. I knew it. I knew that was the same Jim.
I love that.
He used to call us Jim. Back in the day and sing songs. Oh, I've got him recorded still.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Jim, write us a song and come on.
Sing it on the air.
And sing it on the air.
Have a guitar
we
if you got a chance.
We need
or about
that.
Racial injustice or whatever. Whatever the topic is going to be. From a sports standpoint, if we have anything sports wise, it would be.
Well,
what do we have?
How about Daniel Snyder?
From a sports standpoint, here's lewd videos and propositioning people at a party. Hey, why don't you go? Daniel Snyder, owner of the Washington football team with no name, has been accused now.
That is the name. It's a Washington football team.
have been accused now of. One story I read was that he called a cheerleader over and said, "This is
Tony Roberts."
Yeah.
Tony Roberts, who was his a buddy of his.
Yeah. Why don't you guys go upstairs to my hotel room and, you know, talk a little bit more.
Get to know
like
each
that.
Other.
Get to know each other. Yeah. There it was.
And she was like, and she goes, and he goes, and she laughed and said, oh, something. And she goes, he didn't laugh. And she was like, I got to go. You have a great time. Bye.
And she went and talked to her, one of the guys who was in charge.
And then she told three people right afterwards that it
which
happened.
Which is smart. But, there's some.
Let me outline one of the things.
Yeah. Jim's already on the line, and he's got a song for us already. So, I don't know. We got to talk about
that.
We're near
a break. But Larry Michael, who also lost his job. He was a longtime voice of and a senior vice president for the Washington football team. He directed a crew of a 2008 cheerleader photo shoot to compile lewd outtakes, including topless shots and sharp focus and moments where cheerleaders had bare breasts inadvertently exposed for inclusion on a private video for Snyder.
Yeah, they put together a video of the outtakes,
supercut.
The bikini of the calendar shoot, and. And this guy, Larry Michael, now there's another, and he's not the only one. There are the other scout that got fired. He's in. I hope, like Tony Roberts, I was thinking this, like if Tony Roberts is married and all of a sudden this story comes out from this cheerleader that says Daniel Snyder wanted she and Tony Roberts to go up to his room. His wife's going, really? Tony's like, hey, I'm over here. I didn't know I was going to get in this thing. I didn't tell Dan Snyder to do this. Oh, really? Really? He's trying to get you laid? Well, guess who you're not hanging out with anymore? Dan Snyder. Okay? Because he's trying to get you laid with a cheerleader.
Always trying to cause problems.
You think Dan Snyder's like,
what'd you say, Dan?
Tony, I've seen your wife. You need this.
No.
Come, let's go.
You think Dan
was on that?
We got a Jim song coming up on the other side right here on ESPN. That was our sports talk today.
That was a Dan Snyder with the lewd videos.
We got
saying,
Will Wade, too.
Hey, why don't you pull upstairs on my boy and just see what happens? Like, what? What'd you say, Mr. White, folks?
So we got Will Wade we can talk about, too, if you want to talk other sports.
Oh, other sports like sports, Will Wade?
And buying players, yeah.
Yeah.
11 players.
Good thing nothing's happening to LSU football.
No.
Only basketball.
No, but if they screw up because of institutional control, if they screw up the football season, guess what they're going to hear? Guess what Will Wade's going
to
hear?
I talked to I talked to somebody in college athletics yesterday who brought up a point about paying college athletes over on the books. He made a really good point I want to bring up. Huh? He's like, there is not one athlete who's going to want this to actually.
Because of taxes?
Not one good athlete.
Yeah. 758 ESPN 97.5 713-780-37. We got Jim singing on the other side.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.